Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Tonight we're going to be looking at a new series. The new series is called Simple Prayer, based on this book by John Dalrymple. It's one that we're going to be going through together, loosely based on it. Prayer is a topic that, if you're a Christian, and even if you're not a Christian, actually, the stats tell us that people who don't believe in God still seem to pray to Him. It's a very natural human thing to cry out when you're in need. So prayer is something that's pretty common in the human experience, but if you're a Christian, you believe in a God who listens. And so we're going to look at prayer tonight together, and it's just about simplicity. Sometimes we can make prayer really complex. Sometimes we can feel that we don't pray well. I've definitely felt that, or someone else prays a lot better than me, and that's just not a great way to think. So we're gonna explore it together, we're following along with this book. But the first question I have for you, because I do like to get you guys to give me some feedback and to hopefully be engaged, how do you picture God? Do you have an idea in your mind of something, you know, when you think of God? Is it a person? Is it a bright light? Is there a piece of artwork that you've seen, you know, maybe when you're growing up, like, oh, that's my image for God? Some people I know think of Jesus with the sheep over his shoulders. You know, that's their image of God. There's lots of different ways that we can think of God, but do you have one that comes to your mind? It comes to your mind's eye when you think, you know, I'm praying to God. Who am I praying to? Oh yeah, sure, Eric, go for it.
One big eye.
One big eye, right? I just want to suggest that it matters. It matters, this image that we have in our mind. Because sometimes we can take one idea, which is true, you know, one piece of theology, one way of thinking about God, but we can take it to an extreme. So an example of this might be if you see, you know, God as a king sitting on the throne with all the angels bowing before him. It's a great image. But then we think, oh, I can't approach him. There's no way he would have any time to hear what I have to say or even care what I have to say. And so that's an image that can then affect how we pray, and not in a good way. Other people might say, well, I believe in a God, but I don't think he's a personal God. He was sort of, he made the earth, you know, like a watchmaker, wind everything up, and he's just let it go, and he's hands off and standing back. And so if you believe in a God that isn't engaging, isn't a personal God, then when you pray, you're sort of praying out there to the universe. And so I just want to suggest that how you picture God really matters in your prayer. And the God of the Bible, the God of the Hebrew Bible, and then the New Testament, which Christians follow, he's a personal God. He's a person, and a person that we can know. So let's have a look at how we pray to him. It's a very well-known chapter of the Bible. We're in Luke, if you want to follow along with your Bible or your phone. It's also in Matthew, but we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You'll notice I've highlighted a couple of words there. It's the word Father. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, which has been recorded in the Gospels for us, we're told to call him Father. Not almighty, powerful creator of the universe. No, we're told to call him Father. And then it goes on to explain that actually when we ask him, he wants to give us good gifts. And he readily gives us good gifts. So from that text, and it's the same throughout the New Testament, please check it out if you don't believe me, God's approachable. God is actually waiting for us to come to him. He desires us to pray, desires us to connect with him. That's why he created us. And so if you've got an image of God that doesn't have God being approachable in it, I suggest maybe tweaking it. You know, do a bit of research, ask some people, and work out how you can change the way you view God to see he's actually really approachable. He actually wants to connect with you. He wants to hear your prayers, and he wants to answer them. Now, in Matthew, which is the same passage, but I'm just going to show you the preamble to the passage. Jesus was teaching the disciples, and he said, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Again, we have this image of a father who's attentive because he knows what you need before you come to him. And so we don't have to, there's no special words to say. We don't have to use flowery language. We just need to come before our Father in heaven and ask for what we need. And we can do that silently, as in personally, one-on-one with him. We don't have to go to a church to pray. We don't have to be in a prayer meeting where there's the really good prayers are there and so God hears that more. No, he hears us when we're by ourselves in our cupboard. And he's a good father. You with me so far? Great. We'll just keep moving through. So that's sort of to summarize that, I'd say, well, prayer's not meant, you're not meant to need a degree to pray, right? It's not meant to be complicated. It's meant to be the most simple thing you can do, talking to a father. It's the first thing we learn as a child is how to talk to our parents. So prayer is not meant to be complicated, but as I said, we can make it complicated. We can build up different ideas in our head. And so when we look at prayer, and we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer as a specific example because it's the one Jesus gave us, and it's well known. This is a quote from the Archbishop of Canterbury and York. His name's Justin Welby. He's talking about the Lord's Prayer, and he says, "The Lord's Prayer is simple enough to be memorized by a small child, and yet profound enough to sustain a whole lifetime of prayer." Just think about that. It's simple. You know, it's not many lines. In the original language, it's only 31 words, and it's a rhyme. It's a poem. So, you know, if you speak the original language, then it's pretty easy. But even for us, if you went to a Christian school or even if you watch movies, you've probably picked up on the Lord's Prayer because it's something that's recited, and it's something that's recited by millions of people every single day. It's something that unites many people across the Christian denominations. So it's simple, yet it's really significant. It's simple enough to be memorized by a child, yet profound enough to sustain a whole lifetime of prayer. We're going to just look at the few elements that are within the Lord's Prayer. There's adoration or praise, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or your name be made great. There's petition or supplication, that's asking God for stuff, you know, give us today our daily bread. Contrition, is that how you say it? Sure. Or confession, you know, forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our debts as we forgive those. And I'll just add that it's done with a spirit of thanksgiving. You know, there's no line in there that talks about thanksgiving, but I just, as I read, as you read the context of it, it's like you're coming before your Father and you're in a state of adoration and thanksgiving for him. And many people have looked at the Lord's Prayer over the years and they've come up with a really simple acronym. And you may have seen this before. It's just ACTS. And so it's a way to pray. It's a bit of a, again, we don't have to learn a specific formula to pray, but this is just a way to cover our bases and say, this is a way to pray and a way to make sure that we're covering the full spectrum, not just asking God for stuff, but also praising him. So it's ACTS. A for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, and S for supplication, which is a fancy way of saying asking God for stuff. It's saying, I need to depend on God. I can't do it in my own strength, so I need to ask God for things. That's what supplication is. And so if we want to make it super simple, because this whole series is about simple prayer, so we want to use simple language, say adoration or praise. And then, sorry, thank you, please. It's pretty easy to remember. You can say sorry to God for the ways that you've not measured up to what he wants. You can say thank you for what he's done in your life, and you can ask him for stuff. Do you agree it's pretty simple? That's the point I'm trying to make, so hopefully you agree with me. And many people, we sort of get that. We sort of understand talking to God. We understand asking him for things and that we should say thank you. But it's not a business relationship. It's not like we go, okay, you know, that rich uncle who, you know, your parents say, if you be nice to him, he's probably going to give you something. And so you have a mindset of a business transaction. Or a genie, you know, it's like you have a lamp, if you rub it just the right way, the genie comes out and grants you the wishes. We're not talking about God as a person who's conducting a transaction with. We're talking about a family, someone who we have relationship with. So God is approachable. And prayer is simple, but what we want to do is we want to step towards intimacy. It's one thing. I mean, how many of you have ever met someone new? Should see every hand going up, because I met you all at one point. If you've ever met someone new, how do you have that first conversation? It's
nice day today.
Mark loves talking about the weather. Nice day today. What do you do for work? You know, what's your family look like? Anything that you can see in your immediate context that you can comment on? You know, oh, that's a cool dog over there. Like, just whatever it is, you're keeping it very superficial, and there's not a lot of intimacy there. And sometimes we can pray like that to God, where we understand who he is. He understands who we are, definitely. And we keep it at a very surface level. We don't let the friendship, the relationship, actually go any deeper. And yeah, we're prepared to ask for stuff, but there's also things that we're like, oh, I don't know God well enough to ask for that. You know, it's like go to your friend and say, I'm prepared to ask my friend to borrow a lawnmower because, you know, he's not using it on the Saturday anyway, so I can just borrow that. But I'm not really prepared to go and ask him if I can borrow his car. You know, it's because there's that level of friendship that you have. And so what I want to encourage you to do is, with prayer, we want to step, even though it's simple, it's not simplistic, we want to step through from having superficial, transactional type relationship. We want to get to know God really well and to allow him into our lives and to, just like you would in a family, you understand each other. Got another one for you. When you first meet someone, or you know, maybe at work, maybe on the bus, and then the conversation just dies. You've already talked about the weather. There's no cute dogs running around, and so the conversation stops, and it's a bit awkward, isn't it? Because no one's talking. Because when you're in a superficial relationship, or conversation, when words stop, that's actually a breakdown of communication. Yet, think about the family you grew up in. If you've got siblings, if you grew up with parents, right, you can sit there with a family member for half an hour, 2 hours, and not say much. You're just happy in their presence. You know, it's that level of intimacy that's developed, that level of comfort that's developed. Actually, that silence is just a different form of communication. If you've ever had a romantic relationship, think about the early stages of the relationship where there's lots and lots and lots of talking and getting to know each other and trying to figure out what this person thinks about all the whole spectrum of things. But then over time, it gets deeper and deeper, more intimate, and you don't have to talk as much. You can just go for a walk together and enjoy the surroundings that are there. And so as we pray, it's simple. What we're trying to do is we're trying to cultivate a relationship with our Heavenly Father. So I want to encourage you, step towards intimacy. We can learn all the ways to pray, and we don't have to use fancy language. We can just be real. But as we do that, step towards intimacy. And look, we just need to start where we are, because there's no point in maybe you haven't been a good prayer in the past. That's something I put my hand up to say. I struggle to pray because I want a formula. You know, I want to know how to do it. But the intimacy side of things, I struggle with more. So you start where you are and just offer something to God. You know, you be real, be vulnerable. Ask Him for what you actually need. He already knows, so you're not telling Him anything new. But just shift the conversation from that you're having with Him from the surface level stuff or your desperate needs to actually what are your deeper level desires or what are your deeper level hurts, you know, and bring those to the surface. He already knows them, but what you're doing now is you're building the conversational life into a more intimate space. So start where you are, but step towards that intimacy. And just to encourage you in that. There's a whole group of really smart people for centuries, and they could have written, you know, the most academic, wordy examples and definitions for prayer. And I've picked a few really smart people, people who have really hard to quote quotes, and yet when they talk about prayer, they talk really basically. They don't go into these lofty ideals, but they just keep it really simple. That's all we have to do. And so I want to encourage you with that. Firstly, though, this is an unknown quote, so I've just paraphrased something I've picked up from somewhere. I have no idea where. If you do know, please come tell me. So if you don't have faith, then praying is silly. If you have faith, it's silly not to pray. Because if you don't believe in a personal God, yeah, why pray? But if you do believe in a personal God, then wow. The creator of the universe, the person who made you and knows everything about you and knows the purpose for your life, wants to talk to you. It's not a one-way conversation. He talks back. So if you don't have faith, praying is silly. If you do have faith, then it's really silly not to pray. And really silly not to try and develop the intimacy and get better at praying, whatever better means. To develop the relationship. Dallas Willard is a theologian, philosopher. He says, I believe the most adequate description of prayer is simply talking to God about what we're doing together. It's like, hey God, I'm at work right now. You know, please give me the wisdom to have the conversation with that colleague I need to have the conversation with. Hey God, I'm really enjoying this lunch. Thank you. You know, thank you for providing the resources to me and the family so that we can have this lunch and enjoy it. It's inviting God into you every day. And some of that stuff's superficial, but you also have the superficial conversations with your spouse. You also have the superficial conversations with your kids, but you don't only have them. You go deeper. Henry Nouwen, a Catholic priest, he says, prayer is being unbusy with God instead of being busy with other things. Prayer is primarily to do nothing useful or productive in the presence of God. And so he's circling back around to this idea, it's not transactional. We're not trying to get something from God. We're not trying to, you know, if I say thank you 10 times and only ask him for something once, then I'm going to get that thing I've asked for. It doesn't work like that. Now, prayer is primarily to do nothing useful or productive, just be in God's presence, enjoying his company, enjoying his conversation. Jean Guyon, or Madame Guyon, as some would know, the simple requirement is that you must learn to pray from your heart and not your head. This is a really tough one for me because I operate up in my head all the time. But when you again, we just look at the model of family, and if you're constantly operating with just your head with your children or with your spouse or with your sibling, it becomes a little bit mechanical. It becomes you're trying to logistically move the family along or logistically move the conversation. It's not what you're actually feeling. You're not hearing what they're actually feeling either. And so we need to shift the prayer conversation for what should I be praying for? Have I said thank you enough? You know, I need to praise God more. Like shift from the should language that our head brings up to actually learning to pray from our heart. What's going on inside of me? You know, am I full of joy because of something that God has brought into my life? Am I full of fear because of something that's going on? Am I full of hurt because of something that's just happened? We can bring it all before God. He wants to hear. He already knows, but he wants to hear us. And then we move on towards intimacy. I'm going to flick back to Kierkegaard with this idea of us praying out our hurt, praying out our sorrow, praying out our just our emotions. See, the function of prayer is not to influence God, but it's to change the nature of us. See, when we pray, I've experienced, I'm sure many of you have as well, the release of a burden. You know, we've got this tension built up, I'm really worried, anxious about something, but I'm able to just lay it out before God. And so there's often a peace that comes as we bring it. The other thing that happens to me is I really desire something, like I really want that thing and I know it's going to be good for me. I want that promotion at work, or I really need this to happen. I need this relationship to work. Whatever it is, I've got an idea, I've got an agenda. And as I pray, as I release it to God, I start to soften and go, actually, that's me being selfish. Actually, God may want something else to happen. And I'm now open to it because I've released it to him. I've had a conversation with it. Other things for me, and again, I'm doing a lot of talking about me. Hopefully, you can relate to some of it. But have you ever had a great idea, and then when you started to explain it to someone, you go, wow, that's actually shocking. Just saying it out loud has really killed the great idea because it wasn't a good idea to begin with, but in your head, it was good. Anyone else ever had that? No? Thanks, John. I do that too. It's like I get really, really passionate about something. And then as I try and articulate it to God, I realize that actually I haven't understood it fully, or actually this is not right. It's not something that God wants or is good for my faith. I just got really caught up in the moment and thought it was a good idea. So in praying, it's just like working something over with a good mate. You know, they can bounce ideas backwards and forwards, but it's so much more than just a good friend. It's the creator of the universe, the person who knows you intimately, has a good plan for your life. John Dalrymple, he's the author of this little book here, says we don't pray in order to gain something for ourselves. We pray in order to give something to God. It's a sacrifice. That's the language of love. The language of lovers is waste, especially in the wasting of time in each other's company. No one likes to waste time with someone who's not particularly important to him or her, but we all run to waste time with our friends and our beloved. That, I suggest, is how we grow in prayer. Do you have acquaintances, we'll call them, who you hang out with sometimes, you might have them at dinner, or there might be a work colleague, and you don't mind them, but you're not clearing your schedule to see them. You know, if something else is on, it's like, oh, sorry, I'm busy. right? There's that sort of acquaintance. But then you've got the friend or the family member where it's like, as soon as they suggest something, you're like, great, I'm canceling my plans, I'm going to do that. Because we just love being in their presence and their company, and we've built relationship with them. That's something we can get with God. This idea of loving Him, loving the time that we spend with Him. And it'll snowball. Again, all really simple ideas, but they're deep, and it takes a lifetime to keep growing deeper and deeper. And so I'm the first person to say, I don't have this all sorted out. So we start where we are, we keep it simple, and we step towards intimacy. And then finally, we keep on praying. Prayer is about practice. I think many of you will have been at a prayer meeting before, you know, where you all gathered together to pray. I think you'll be able to tell, you know, who grew up in a Pentecostal church, who grew up in a more conservative, you know, Catholic or Anglican tradition, maybe who's a newer Christian, who became a Christian in the 90s versus who became a Christian in the 2010s, by the language. Because we actually learn to pray from other people around us. That's why it's really cool that we have the way Jesus taught his disciples to pray. That's a really good thing to keep coming back to, is the way Jesus taught his disciples to pray. It's not wrong to learn from godly men and women how to pray. But in those prayer meetings, I go, sometimes I compare myself to others, which is not right, because it's not about the language, it's about the heart, it's about the relationship. But yeah, you just keep on practicing. Again, similar illustration, public speaking. Most people aren't good at public speaking. The people who are good at public speaking, they're good at public speaking because they kept public speaking all the way through and kept practicing and practicing and practicing. Musical instruments, I'm sure it's the same. I can't play musical instruments because I've never practiced. I used to own a guitar. I can do 3 chords, and I didn't have the discipline. So I didn't get good. I didn't develop my skill because I didn't practice. And prayer is not a skill or a talent we have to learn, but it's a beautiful gift that God gives us. But maybe a better illustration then is, if you when you're courting someone, you're in that dating stage, if you never see them, does the relationship develop? No, you need to see them. You need to actually to build that relationship. And intimacy takes time. I'm just speaking from my life. There's a number of conversations I've had where someone has gone from the superficial conversation, they've just gone really deep, really fast, and that was awkward too. Because there was no trust built, and they just went really, really intimate. And so that was awkward to me. I don't think that worries God, because He knows us inside and out, so we can go deep straight away. But just this idea of developing intimacy over time, because some people are prepared to do it, but for me, it takes time for me to trust. So trust God with small prayers and keep them snowballing. So I want to summarize. There's the leader of 24/7 prayer globally. His name is Pete Gregg. He wrote a book called How to Pray for Normal People. And this is his summary of how to pray for normal people. Keep it simple, just like John Dalrymple says in his book. Keep it real. That's this idea of vulnerability and building intimacy. And keep it up. That's the idea of practice. Keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up. So to finish tonight, there's lots of different ways we can pray. We just pray whatever's on our heart. You can pray psalms. They're beautiful things to pray. Many of them were prayers originally. Pray out scripture. There's lots of models you can do. You can meditate on scripture and give it back to God. But this is the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray in the Lord's Prayer, and it's the way that Christians for centuries have been praying. It's something that has united Christianity. So I'd love for us to pray this together. And as we pray, as you say the first line, Our Father in Heaven, I invite you to think about that image that you have of God as the approachable God. As you pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, I invite you to surrender over your motivations and your plans, your desires, and say, God, I want Your will to happen, not mine. as you ask God for your daily bread, you know, think of those things that you need, those things that you're asking, you're crying out to Him for, and just lift them up to Him. And then just forgive us our sins, just the idea of confession. We're going to do communion shortly, and this idea of confessing our sins and just thanking Him that He forgives our sins. There's so many beautiful aspects of it, and yet it's really simple. It's adoration, praise for who God is. It's please. It's thank you. And what was the other one? Confession. Thanks. So let's pray together. I'll lead us off. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.